Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning.
And today we're talking about radical spirit and taking calls for psychic readings and, well, psychic numerology readings. And we hope that you call us today, 914-338-0164. We do take our calls at about 15 minutes after we start the show because we discuss our topic first. Callers, we ask also that you press 1 on your phones so that we know that you would like a reading. That signifies that you're raising your hand when you press 1. So do that, 914-338-0164. Also inviting all our callers and listeners to join us on Facebook and on Twitter. Our Facebook account is linked under our Blog Talk Radio profile. There's an additional account, Neil Baker Psychic. Please like that page. Follow us, friend us, whatever it is that you need to do. Also, you may join us on Blog Talk Radio right here by liking our show or following our show. And that way you can stay connected to our schedule. And I think that's it. 562-596-7818 is the number for further conversation. The radio show can accommodate. But radical spirit. Okay, well, radical spirit could be taken to mean many different things.
It can be.
But we're not talking about actually radical spirit in terms of entities. We're talking about spirituality.
Yeah,
spirituality. The manifestation of one's spirituality on the earth plane.
Yeah, for the purpose of this discussion. Radical spirit is actually our own coined term for how radical is your spirit, meaning how much are you in, first of all, how much are you in touch with it? How much are you aware of your spirit? And to what extent does it dominate your life or it put you in such an involvement of living that spirituality is part of your existence? Of course, there are those people who, I guess you could say, there's a lack of radical spirit. In other words, spirituality, mysticism, the soul, the journey, astral realms, karma, it just have little importance to them. You live, you die, you live your life, you do your best or you don't do your best. It doesn't matter. There is not a general common denominator that spirituality is the basis of life. Now, that is not what we mean by radical spirit. That would be the lack thereof. Maybe that's a radical lack of spirit. When we get then into the portion of what is a radical spirit, we start to analyze the different levels of what spirituality is. There's a basis of spirituality where, you know, as a nation of worshipers of God, worshiping in your particular house of devotion, whether it's Christianity, Muslim, Judaism, whatever the case may be, Buddhist, the
Hindu.
Temple of your life is that you go and worship and you obey the rules and you pray and you meditate and you try to lead a godly life and that kind of thing. That's not really radical spiritualism. That's more of a conventional earthbound religion that is geared towards the essence of our virtues and our ideals of family, tradition, and then just a deep respect for God. That's not really radical. even if people say, well, you know, well, I go to church three times, or I go to the synagogue three times, I pray, I'm devotional. That's not really radical either.
We're not talking about rituals, because a lot of people can be very steeped in rituals. And like you said, go to church or synagogue many times a week, and they're very much into the, the steps that you take to be religious.
Religious. When we get into Pentecostal, when we get into the attitude of holy rollers and people who are in frenzy and spiritual
rapture. Right, and
rapture,
people are speaking in tongues and so on and so forth.
People speaking in tongues, and we get now we're getting into more of a radical positioning of what spirituality is.
Right.
The more we leave our body, not that we're uplifted in spirit or soul and we have a deep devotion and reverence to God, but when we get it more into the frenzy, into the excitement, the intensity, and I just don't mean having a great Bible session where the preacher or the rabbi is just so inspirational and you feel it in your heart. I'm talking about a different, and everyone's singing and clapping. That's a form of a lower level of radical spirit. But when we get into an idea of frenzy, we're getting more into the idea of what a radical spirit is, in addition to the true spiritualists that devote their lives to spiritualism, that write about it, that go to great lengths to experience it. Now we're getting more into the element and the sort of the color, the deeper, denser energy of what a radical spirit is, almost to the point to where people are willing to die for some abstraction of spirit. They die for their God. They die for their mentor of spirituality. And that becomes somewhat of a radical positioning of spirit too.
But I want to interject that we're not endorsing, like, you know, the Pentecostal religion. I mean, just because you referenced, you know, speaking in tongues, so on and so forth, nor are we endorsing any type of religion, but you're just talking about the differences between spiritual expression, between faith.
Yeah. We're not talking about being devout, whether it's in Christianity, Judaism,
people are really speaking in tongues in Pentecostal religion or not is another subject for a different show. But I mean, you're talking about a more
radical aspect,
an intense spiritual expression rather than an internalized one.
I think too, the radical spirit doesn't constitute someone who's saying, really, you know, I'm calling your show, or I'm calling different psychics or seeing
I was going to point that out too.
I really need this to happen, and I believe that's not being radical spirit. A radical spirit is really something that transcends the earthly plane. It goes to a realm to where it's almost, some people would find it laughable, some people would find it eccentric, exaggerated. But when we get to those, some people would find it inspirational and part of the soul energy. But when we get into the radical spirit, what we're really getting into is we're getting closer to what spirituality is. That spirituality is a vibrational mysticism. That it's something above and beyond what our normal consciousness can hold. In fact, radical spiritualism doesn't really exist harmoniously in our physical world. It is the exception to our physical world. There's a certain passion and energy behind it. I mean, how many times have you walked down the street and you see somebody shouting, "The end is coming! You know, turn your life over." That's a sort of radical social energy of spirituality. But radical spiritualism is something that rises above the herd. It moves to a plane to where the conversation of existence exceeds anything that the earthly delights would otherwise pursue.
And I'd like to contend that radical spirituality doesn't necessarily need to express itself in an extroversion. You know, you can be a radical spiritualist, and it doesn't mean you have to be yelling on the street corner or speaking in tongues.
No, It can be very meditative and contemplative. You can be very inside of your energy. Some of the great mystics are very silent in their content. So it's a matter that your mind has evolved to, if you want to call the word evolved, has evolved to such an extent that the idea of earth is really minimal. There's a minimal quality to it. There's just a certain ceiling there. And the quest, the thirst for something higher becomes a more radical conclusion of what spirit constitutes spirit. So therefore, the mind's eye is constantly on a different level. It's almost like you can't really contain the definition of existence in the finite mind. You have to go to some certain level of soul and spirit where the outburst, and thereby the connection due to that outburst, has originated from a source that is much higher than just earthly wisdom. So there's this radical conclusion that almost you're living in your body, but you're not really there. Your body is just a vehicle. It's almost like you're using your body like you would a car to get from one place to another, but you don't live in, I mean, some people live in their car and some people worship their cars, but really the car is but a vehicle. It gets us from one place to another. Oh, sure, you can have luxuries and have all kinds of things, and today you can have movies in your vehicle and all kinds of gadgets and everything. And just as our bodies are improved and we do different things with our body to improve our body. But the idea of a radical spirit is almost like the idea of a radical driver. It's not the vehicle that drives, it's the person driving the vehicle. So when we get into the radical spirit, it's really the spirit that drives the person rather than the person that drives the spirit.
Or the body that drives the spirit.
The body, yeah, the person being the ego essence of energy,
right,
as it's related to connections to the earthly plane.
Right. So in our earlier conversation, stating that, you know, just because you're connecting to psychics, calling radio shows and inquiring about your physical life, that's not really, you know, it's a step towards spiritualism, but that's not really the essence of spirituality.
Well, and usually it's for not every caller, but it's usually a quest as a means to an end, meaning I'm calling to get something. In spirituality, you don't get anything. There's nothing to get.
Right. If the element of sacrifice is a big part of spirituality.
Well, it's not just that. It's the element of consciousness. It's the element of learning how to absorb the consciousness of the universe. Now, this is far beyond anything that the earth can offer. It's not a car. It's not a relationship. It's not a job. It's not a home. It's not money. It's not even the welfare of the body. It is something that uplifts us into the molecules of something that we don't even connect to as we live and breathe.
Of course.
On a concrete
but
level.
If we're talking on the physical plane about spirituality and what constitutes spirituality, faith, sacrifice, humility, you know, love, generosity, those are the physical tenets.
Those are the physical tenets, but what they do is they remind us that we're just not a containment of body, that there is something beyond our immediate ego and psychic element of our that contains our physical body that is worthwhile. So when we use the word sacrifice, sacrifice is a physical term,
mm-hmm,
because what you're
right,
sacrificing is your body. In the spiritual realm,
there's no
sacrifice
because you're in spirit, so there's
you're
nothing to sacrifice. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's nothing to sacrifice because you're in the eternal aspect of existence. And if you're in the eternal aspect of existence, what is there to sacrifice?
Nothing. But for our callers and listeners and those who are on the physical plane, you know, generally there's not going to be a transition from being in that body element in terms of wants and desires and automatically transforming into being in spirit. So adopting those principles in one's life can help people move into that space.
Sure. There's a process. There's steps that we have to necessarily take, just as there are steps in our physicality of life that we have to learn. We have to learn how to hold a fork, how to tie our shoes, how to read, how to write. And so when we get into the ladder of towards spirituality, more or less radical spirituality, there are lower levels of spirituality, so to speak, which I would assume would contain the word religion.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get up into the higher aspects of cosmic consciousness and all that kind of thing, which even people of religion would say is sort of the antithesis of what pure religion is. It's sort of supernatural, hocus pocus, demon, devil stuff, when actually the pure language of cosmic consciousness, which is just but two crude words, leads to something that is above and beyond the earth itself. And we're just using the linguistics of the human tongue to somewhat inadequately describe what true spirituality is, because it's not even cosmic consciousness.
And I think releasing the idea of losing something because you're being spiritual helps to transcend the physical realm. So if you do feel, I agree that if you feel like, well, you know, I'm sacrificing for this, I'm being spiritual, it's more of a burdensome activity. Whereas if you can let go and say, you know, this is part of being a spiritual human being and elevating the consciousness of my soul into a spiritual realm, it's going to feel a lot different. You know, helps to release the earth.
And one of the greatest challenges, I think, because, you know, as we're trying to establish the promised land, or we're trying to establish the New Jerusalem, or the elements between Israel and the Palestinian state and the Jewish state.
Right, are they moving the deal?
There's talk about it being moved through the Trump administration.
Yeah.
But the idea is that, basically, yes, homeland is important, but we're nomads. We're basically nomadic tribes. We're a tribe that human civilization is based on nomads, of wandering, of searching, of bridging the continents together, of evolving into different places, which involves all kinds of things about culture, tool making, learning the languages, understanding the geographic implications of what it is to be alive on this planet. So when we have our deepest challenges of where the state of existence is, it's not really in any particular land, however that may important be, because I think there is a need to have a particular landmark. But what we're saying is that the state of saintliness, the state of spirituality is within us. So even if we're displaced, even if we're in a world of sheer compromise between security and insecurity, the pure testing element of spirituality is the state of mind that we are in, which thereby leads to radical spiritualism.
Okay, let's continue this a little bit later in the show, Neil, or on Wednesday, depending on our list of callers here. Let's take our private caller first. Who's this, please?
Hi, this is Trish.
Hi, Trish. Where are you calling from?
Connecticut.
Okay, and your birth date, please?
9-18-60.
9-18-60. Oh, I remember you, Trish. I remember you. 18-28.
34-7.
That's right. Yeah, I remember. Okay, what's going on?
I was wondering if you saw a new employment in my future.
New employment?
As a teacher?
No, in the future. In the future.
In the future. New employment in the future. And you're 56, which just happens to be a multiple of 7. Don't forget, your master number is 7, Trish. And so 56 is going to be a multiple of 7 by 8. The 7 is not, it's arranged by the numerical value of 34, which is not a multiple of 7. So you're forever 1 year difference, because 35 would be a multiple of 7, 34 isn't. However, 34 is your karmic number, And right now we're on a multiple of 7 by 56. So when we get into that element of changing your energy on a cycle of 7, whereby it's 8, we get into what's called your fire number, because you happen to be born on the 18th. There's an 8 in there. And not only that, but the element of that 8 being in your fire number signifies an element of change. So you are definitely going through an element of change right now. So in terms of being in a position of job, career, it's appropriate that you're asking that question now. Which,
oh, great.
Basically, you're sort of in a world right now where we use this term, the universe. It's such a ridiculous abstraction, but we're going to use it anyways. Because what it encompasses is the prevailing energy out there that kind of looks over our life energy. It's a crude analogy, but we'll use it nonetheless. Your journey right now, there's a sort of playground between now and September before you turn 57, which, you know, at 57, that's going to be also, I believe, no, it won't be. 57 will be beyond a multiple of 7, whether it's 34 or 35. But you right now, it's between now and September. Now, you may go, well, September, I can't wait that long. I'm only saying to you what the window is. And when we talk about windows on the show, people tend to think that the window is just one side or the other. There's the window is what occupies a window is a dimension of energy. It's a measurement. You don't have a window unless you have sides, and then you have the medium point of a window or the middle point. If we get into that zone, we could say we might safely say that your job is coming up maybe in March. His position.
That would be great.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you something. It's a very abstract question, and you might not think it's pertinent, but I'm going to ask it anyways, because I want you to relate it as though we were doing a word association game right now. What do bicycles have to do with your whole life so far? A bicycle.
Very little. I mean, as a child, I had one, but I haven't really been on a bicycle in quite some time.
Okay. Now, from there, I want to ask you another question. Where in your life have you ever worked with children or younger people on any level?
You know, I don't think I've ever worked with children.
Yeah. So here's what we're getting into, and there's a method to this. We're getting into part of the karma of your life that has a sort of lacking quality to it. It's sort of tucked away somewhere in some minimal part of your life, if anything at all. So that means your career has come to a sort of minimal stage right now that's trying to emerge into something higher. So what we're looking at is as your career and your jobs and your vocation somewhat closes up, there's a reason for that. And that is because it's going back to something that I think you came into this planet with that had to do with a certain sense of challenge to your psyche, to your being, to your identity, that is now revisiting you in terms of how you express yourself and boldly accept who you are. Now, I know we're kind of talking in these broad terms, but would you say, Trish, that in the first 14 years of your life, would you say that they were a little bit more turmoil and confusion than the normal, your normal peers around you? Or would you say, nah, it's about the same?
No, it was more turmoil because my family had to relocate.
Yeah. So in the relocate, and so we're moving along with a general purpose in mind. This idea of relocation now comes into the planned assessment, if you will, of where your job's going. Have you given any thought, not that you will, but have you given any thought that you might have to relocate in order to get a job?
I haven't. I did do it in 2014. So
you relocated in 2014?
Yeah, and then like 2013 through almost the end of 2014, and then I came back.
Yeah. Well, in 2014, you were 54, basically, 54, nearly 55, somewhere in that zone. And that is a multiple of 7, because that would have been about 20 years from the age of 21 years from the age of 34. So there was that small element. So what I'm attaching to, Trish, is I'm going back about 2 years where you did make that location move. How far away did you have to locate?
Washington, D.C.
Yeah. So, and then that would have been taking you from one out of one state to another?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that was important in terms of where we are today. And so as we start to analyze this situation, was there any sort of guidance or learning oriented position that you had to maintain while you were in Washington? Was there any, did you have to be any
like training for a job or
supply any guidance or
teaching?
Or teaching aspect?
Yeah, I didn't have to train, but I didn't have to be trained, but I provided a lot of oversight.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's what I'm approaching.
Do we know what she does? I think she's told us before, but I don't remember.
No, I work for a software company, kind of in an operations role.
All right.
Then the software company, what is their general product, real quickly?
Security.
Computer software. Security?
Yeah, but is it security?
Oh, like computer security.
Yeah.
That kind of security or security for businesses?
No, it's computer security, like
Computer security.
Well, absolutely. So there's an overall commanding energy. You know, we don't have time to get into the deep essence of this question. I could say to you that I see something coming up in possibly March. It's going to involve this kind of content. You're going to be looked upon as giving counsel or advice or information to those below you. So that's what I see coming up. Due to the nature of our show, we can't go into more depth than that, but I just wanted to sort of give you a briefing. We want to give you a sort of a briefing on this element and give you at least a heads up that it could be in March. And it will have something to do with this idea of counseling, teaching, but in the more or less the software terminology and the security terminology of what you're doing.
Okay, Trish. Hopefully
Thank
that's
you.
Helpful to you. Thanks.
It was.
Okay. And she's 56, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting.
She's 56.
She's 56. And so, you know, between her, she's gone, she's not listening, but if she were here, she would hear that, you know, on the karmic side, her divisions of 8 and 7 are multiplied to be her age now.
Yeah.
So, but she missed that. We do encourage, and I'm taking 917 in a moment, but if you have time to listen, folks, after, you know, when your reading's done, it's sometimes beneficial because there are things in other people's readings that pertain to the people that are listening on the show. There's opportunities to learn. So if you have the time to listen, you may find it beneficial, interesting, educational.
You heard the saying, eat and run. As Linus would say, this is read and run.
Yeah, I guess so. Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Marinette. How are you?
Good. What's your name again, please?
Marinette.
I'm guessing at the spelling, so I'm going to just have you spell, see if I got it right.
It's Marinette.
Okay, I missed one N, but otherwise I had it right, so... Not too bad.
I love that terminology, too, because I'm a big fan of puppets.
That's
Marionette. Well, her name's Marie. Ha ha, he's teasing you. We know it's Marionette, but it's French, right?
Yeah.
Well, my mother made it up because my grandmother's name is Marina and my sister and my aunt's name is Annette, so my mother just put it together.
Oh, it's nice. It sounds French in any case.
So she added the two together.
But you said you sound Italian, actually. I don't know
No. Well, aren't we all things?
Yeah, we are. We are. Marionette, what's your birth date and location, please?
7/16/56.
Okay. And you're calling from New York. New York City, 24358. Wow. I'm always really feeling, I feel envious when people call from New York City because I do love New York City. It's a wonderful place. Past lives. Past lives we've had there, but unfortunately I've never lived there now. Okay. What's your question?
I wanted to know, like, what's going on right now? Because I feel like, I know there's a lot of energy on the planet, and I feel like I'm changing every day, so I wanted to see what my numbers, how my numbers could help or guide me.
Okay.
Or whatever information you can give me, please.
Okay, so you are 59, right? Is that right?
No, I'm 60. I'm 60 years old.
Oh, you're 60. I'm sorry. You turned 60 last year. So I was miscalculating. You're 60 years old and your karmic number is 35, Marionette. Your master number is 8. And so wondering, 1991, there should have been a change. What happened in 1991?
I was getting ready for a divorce.
Getting ready for a divorce. So that was your...
I divorced at 1993. So, you know.
So you were having some turmoil in the marriage in 1991, but the divorce wasn't in process in 91. It sounds like, I mean, that was kind of the change in the marriage was happening. So that counts, I think. But, 35-8, it's a strong master number.
It is.
She was saying something. Marionette, go ahead.
The interesting thing is that I'm now divorced, of course. And recently, my ex-husband, he's been married for a couple of years, but he asked me for an annulment. So that's interesting in the sense that, you know, I think karmically, if I give it to him, you know, it'll be karmically removed, you know? So maybe that has to do with the 1991 at this point in time. I'm not sure.
I don't know about the idea. So you were divorced, but he wants to reverse, like do a back, like revert it to an annulment. So it never occurred essentially.
Right.
In terms of the legal record. Can you do that after a divorce? Is that, I didn't know you could go back and do an annulment.
It doesn't affect me legally. It's just a civil, you know, it's just on the Catholic books, for lack of a better word. It doesn't really change anything legally.
So they allow you to do that, though, annul a marriage that had already been divorced back in 1993. I mean, you can go back that far. And I mean, I don't know about removing karma necessarily. The marriage happened. I know the Catholic Church is, you know, their stance on annulment and so on and so forth.
No, I say that karmically because if I'm already divorced, this is just my thinking anyway, and now it's being removed from, you know, from spiritually, isn't it being removed from the, I guess, the spiritual book, for lack of a better word? I don't know.
I would venture to guess, we don't have your husband's birth date. I would venture to guess that your husband and you have karma between you generally, you know, when you get into a marriage, there's going to be karma between the two people involved. So, I mean, an annulment, I don't think is going to remove the karma between the two of you. But, I mean, because you have moved out of the karma of being involved with the husband, perhaps it's been resolved, but we would, you know, need to get further information. But did you want to focus on that, Marionette, or did you want to go into more of your master number? And, you know, we can
master
kind of
number.
Weave it all in, I'm sure.
But whatever master number, really. And whatever else you can give me. Whatever you think is, you know, will help
okay.
me.
Okay. Yeah, we'll give you whatever we can in the time that
Marionette,
we have.
Marionette, the idea that your ex-husband is trying to release a certain sense of
abstract energy. You know, he's trying to say, well, let's get, we'll make it an annulment and dissolve the marriage as though it didn't really occur. We just are letting it go. We're letting it go. There may be a deeper sense of separation there that can involve some form of transcendent energy beyond the physicality of your connection to your ex-husband. However, just saying so doesn't make it so. There could be issues that are outstandingly still in place, in terms of your connection to a man, your connection to family, your connection to husband, your connection to children. There may be something that you've even established in your lifetime in terms of your own sense of being in how you were raised, how those separations occurred as you grew older. There might have been some attempt to go beyond high school. Did you have any involvement in college at all throughout your life?
Yeah, we were involved. We went to the prom together. Our parents knew each other.
But oh, wow.
But honestly, it was never the, you know, how do you say it? I never felt that baba boom kind of thing at all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We just grew to love, you know. But I'm okay with it. I mean, the thing is that, listen, I, as a light being, I don't have any, I'm not supposed to stay in anybody's way. Let him do what he wants to do. If that's going to bring him closer to God, that's what he said to me, that he's going back into church and this is going to help him. So if that's going to help him, so be it.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
I see God in everything around me, so I don't really need that to connect me to
what
God.
What we're talking about, and that's why I'm going back there, because I felt that there was a history you had with him that reached that far back. So that's why I'm talking about what it means to be separate from an individual, where each individual goes their own way, and then where your mind broadened into the concept that God is absolute, not obsolete, that essence of consciousness. Now, as we get into that, and you are now 60 years old, we're getting to a decade of great psychic awareness for you, where I feel that in this coming decade, there's going to be, I think, another soul. I think there will be a soul connection. I'm predicting that you will find a significant other. Not that that has to be an immediate quest, is where your aim is, but I do see in your future connecting with someone of very strong, significant value, where you share and have a sense of wonderment about the universe simultaneously and share an existence of spiritual union. So I see that coming. I also see in your future there's going to be an involvement on some level with animals, meaning pets. At this time, do you have any cats or dogs around you?
No.
So your answer is
that's not something I would like, right?
Exactly.
We just heard a dog barking.
Yeah.
Funny.
You know, here's what I want to provide for you. You're this person. Are you right now engaged in a relationship?
No, I'm not.
Yeah. Here's what I'm thinking. You're going to meet somebody, and this person will have a dog. And you may go, oh, boy, you know,
no,
everything's
that's not
great.
A problem. I mean,
that's
I don't,
what?
I,
not a problem, she said.
Oh.
I had pets growing up. But, you know,
okay.
You said working with pets or being around pets, you know, I really, you know, I mean, that's part of the package. I don't have anything. I mean, pets don't bother me. I just don't need another thing to take care of right now. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, you know, what I think is going to happen is do you have a desire at all? Do you have any inkling to want to be in a relationship before you leave the planet?
Oh, sure. I mean,
okay.
I connect people every day. I mean, so I want to meet the right person. I have to tell my guys to send me the right person, you know.
I think you're going to. That's my prediction. That's where we're coming from. So I think it's going to happen. And I think this person will have a dog and you'll be fine with it. But,
yeah,
you know, I see that as part of the essence of this energy. I also see when I look, I guess with you, I'm looking, we're here looking further into your life, not in right now, tomorrow, but we're looking down the line a little bit, especially occupying at this right now, let's say between 60, 65. I see you traveling. Now, where you're traveling, it's really weird because it may be symbol, but it looks like you're looking at the pyramids. I don't know why yet. I mean, pyramids can be anywhere. They can be in Egypt. They can be Mayan. They can be anywhere. They can be in South America. But mm-hmm. I do see you looking, you're traveling, and you seem to be with a group of people, and you're looking at pyramids. Have you ever in this lifetime done any kind of traveling like that with a group of people? And
I don't know. Well, I think I went to Machu Picchu in Peru. It was in Peru. It was in Mexico. I forgot where it was, but I don't know if that's the pyramid.
By Cancun,
yeah.
Not in Cancun.
Why did you go there?
I did a tourist trip. We were visiting Mexico, and that was one of the tour trips that we did.
Yeah. Okay. So with that, on that little note, I see you your body is going to revisit another tour group. Maybe you'll do it with this significant other. He'll just say, hey, let's go on a trip. Let's have some fun. I think that might be forthcoming for you in that standard of energy.
No, it's Peru. It's in Peru.
Yeah, there's
some
pyramids
there.
Rock
formation that I'm looking at.
Well,
I was thinking about the Mayan
formation.
Ruins in Mexico,
but
I was wrong.
They
are pyramid-type formations. In fact, I'll show you the picture. Yeah,
yeah
they're
they
pyramid-shaped rocks.
They're pyramid-shaped rocks. Because this element comes from a very strong mysticism of energy that I think you may be entering into where you connect to some aspect of natural mysticism in the world, which is going to be kind of fascinating, I think, for you because it's going to uplift your soul. Now, in addition to that, just a real brief question. I don't care on what level. I don't care how long or how short a time, but have you ever worked in an office?
Yes.
Yeah, and what kind, so we're moving along. What kind of work did you do in that office?
Presently, I'm working in an office.
She works in an office.
Yeah.
What kind of work do you do in the office?
I'm an admin.
She's an administrative assistant.
Yeah. You see,
go ahead.
But I also work in a part-time in a nursing home.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you're picking up the office, so.
Well, the nursing home actually has to do with pyramid energy because if we go into the Egyptian mode of thinking, they prepared those for the dead, the walk in the dead. You're in a nursing home, which is really in a different kind of zone of thinking. You're helping prepare people to go to the other side. That's
correct.
Really what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
And so that preparation involves a sort of ritual and a sort of mystical quality that we've somewhat lost in our nursing home. But that's how it would be in terms of preparing for the land of the dead or whatever you want to call it. The other aspect of it, in the administrative quality, you're involved, you're like a gatekeeper. You're involved in the operation of an office. And so you are mainly a chief officer in that respect. So I see that kind of expanding too between 60 and 65. You will not confuse the journey with this significant other.
Okay, Marinette. Well, that was a nice, thorough conversation. So we're glad you got a little time on the show to.
Thank you, guys, and have a great day. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you're very welcome. And Marinette can join us on Facebook and on Twitter. Those accounts are linked on our blog talk radio profile. And she may also join us there. Okay, and 561 is our next. This is Lena, I believe. Hi.
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 Hi, Neil. Hi, how are you?
Hello.
Hi. I wanted to ask Neil when he saw a relationship coming up for me.
3762.
Relationship 2810. And 62 is going to be right at the tail end here at 54. Well, the idea of a relationship with you, Lena, comes first of all, the door opens up in my mind and I see first of all, and it may be symbolic, but I see a pool, P-O-O-L, like a swimming pool. It looks like a big community pool. Now, that may be just a symbolic landscape, a dreamscape of where I'm going, but...
Does she live in a...
But do you have... What's your connection to pools throughout your lifetime?
Well, I love pools. In fact, and actually, next month I'm going to start looking for a new place to live. So, you know, I'm hoping it, I'm sure it has a community pool because everybody in Florida does.
Oh, and you also love pools. So if you were to be, if you were to be involved in inhabited a location where there was a community pool, you would be one that would use it.
Oh yeah, I love swimming.
Yeah. Okay. So the relationship that I see coming seems to be surrounding that concept, that there's going to be a pool, a community pool. It might be involved in your move, and then maybe you'll meet somebody by the poolside. I don't know. Something about the relationship has to do with the community pool. And, you know, pools, it's weird. They can be regarded as meeting places. After all, a pool is really a symbol of life. It's a symbol of conception.
Right, and baptism. There's a sacred connotation.
You know, it can be a meeting place when you're least expecting it.
Well, yeah, certainly at an apartment complex, a lot of people will, you know, congregate at the pool, neighbors meet each other, they eat, drink, et cetera, et cetera. So it's definitely a social. Maybe she'll meet somebody at one of her upcoming residences, or not one of her upcoming residences, but at the place that she's going to be living forthcoming.
I mean, your journey suggests that somewhere between 54 and 56, you will be in a relationship.
Well, I mean, Lena has been questing for a relationship ever since she started calling our show.
Yeah.
So,
You know, I don't know. It could require a deeper analysis, but on the surface of a 5-minute reading, we're looking at a relationship possibly coming up between now and 56. It's centering around a poolside.
Right, because 28 and 28 is 56, so that's the doubling of her karma.
Yeah.
Which we've talked about on a few shows prior.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, that kind of gives you some initiation to clue solving here, Lena.
Yeah, I'm trying to put more effort into myself, and I'm very picky who I'm around. If it doesn't work, I don't keep people around too long.
Well, it doesn't. That's fine. We're not, you know, this reading doesn't seem to involve
lowering her standards.
Or that you have to be picky. It seems to be that the idea that you like pools and you enjoy that, and then we're coupling that with the idea of meeting someone, would seem to suggest that the person you're going to meet would be like your idea of being in a pool, something to your liking. Does anybody have an eye problem in your family? Anything with glaucoma, cataracts, or has there been?
Yeah, my mom used to. My eyes are getting worse as I'm getting older, I noticed. I don't know if it's from the computer. My twin brother has problems in his eyes, too. So
twin brother.
So there are problems with eyes. Yeah, twin brother has problems with eyes. Well, eyes definitely, my eyes have declined. I mean, I'm nearsighted, but I've become also farsighted. as I've aged. So it happens, I think, to a lot of people. But it sounds like there's something more within the family genetics with eye problems. What what's the nature of your brother's eye problems?
My twin brother.
Yeah, what's the nature of the problem?
Oh, he has problems just like I do. Nearsighted, farsighted, both of them. He scratched the inside of his eye a few times, so I'm sure his eyes might be, I'm sure, worse than mine.
I have a problem with, I'm farsighted too, but that's from reading The Far Side too much.
No one's laughing.
I hear a lot of people laughing.
He has an active imagination. Okay.
Lena. I've always, whenever I hear that name, Lena, I think of Lena and the Swan, which in mythology was the woman whom, I'm not suggesting your next mate is going to be a swan, but what I'm saying
but
is
in
that,
a pool, it's perfect.
In a pool, yeah. You're going to find love. There's going to be a love connection coming up here.
Yeah, I feel it. My life is starting to stabilize now, so I feel like I'm getting ready.
Well, that's good. That's good to hear.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, so we've got 5 minutes, Neil, and we're...
We have only five minutes left.
Only 5 minutes minutes in the show. We don't have any remaining callers today. Okay. We started at a different time than normal because we had some other things to do this morning. So sometimes when we start on the half hour, it's a little bit different in terms of the crowd and so on and so forth. So this gives us a little time to close our conversation.
So according to our topic of radical spirit, gauge what your spirituality is and just how radical your spirit guides you is, and to what content, to what suggestion. Now, granted, a lot of our callers, the basis of their questions are regarding
the
earthbound quest for relationship, for job, that kind of thing. That's fine, because we use spiritual faculties or mystical or astral faculties to gauge where things are going and how they may come about.
Right, and we hope the more stable people are, the more they might ignite their quest for spirit. So,
yeah, when we get into the idea of what true spirituality is, different questions are arranged.
Right. What is the journey of my soul? What do I need to do in this lifetime to clean up my karma? I mean, that's moving towards a more spiritual
conversation. Even the content, when you get into the idea of what is life like on the other side, what will my soul experience once I'm off the planet? And what is that journey going to be about? Some of the liftoff to the higher spiritual plane where that radical spirit is touching is based upon what we do on the earth. It's true that we have to uplift ourselves from our karma and work through it. But on the other hand, the idea that there's true, like a separation of church and state, there's a separation of body and desire and aspirations, as there is a separation of that from the spiritual nature of our consciousness. So it's just something that you really should think about and think hard about and start to understand what is the division between the true aspects of the higher body, which can still attain pleasure on the planet, as opposed to the beginning lower level of spirituality that works its way upward to pure the pure essence of what spirit is, which I think is almost indefinable. But
Of course it's indefinable. There's no words in spirit.
It's balanced, yeah.
So, okay. Well, we are back on the air on Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern, are back to our regular time. We thank our callers for joining us today. We invite them to follow us on Facebook or send us a friend request, like Neil Baker Psychic. Follow us on Blog Talk Radio, and we also hope that all of you have a wonderful weekend. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.